Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. I am a black mother of West Indian descent. I don't even know if I like the word black anymore. African. I know that I'm from African descent. But anyway, I digress. I am of West Indian descent with one teenager and one young adult living in the UK, London, when I'm not an expert of any kind, just sharing my thoughts, opinions, and experiences around parenting and life in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So you already know that the parent hashtag means that we talk about anything. And today we're just going to talk about cost of living crisis. But just for some clarity, first I'm going to share a couple of recent parent experiences that have triggered this episode, and then I'm going to share information and sources of help, and hopefully we can do this in 30 minutes max, but we might actually need more parts to this discussion. I'm doing two call outs here. One is to invite other voices to come and share how you're coping with the beginnings of this cost of living crisis, and any measures that you're taking that you want to share with all of us, the community. And then my second ask is please pass this information on and share it, as I do not have a translator. English is my first language. So if you're listening to this and English is your one of the languages you speak, but your community speak another language, please just share the information and translate it for them so that they get the information. Let's just try to be kind to each other, especially during these difficult and uncertain times. So, yes, I come from a West Indian culture, and in my culture, I was taught not to share my struggles, but to be a strong girl or woman or mother. But this has made me, this made me feel alone, and it prevented me from getting help when I needed it. And it also stopped me from seeing that I needed help, because I was encouraged to manage it on my own. But I'm here today to tell you that, and if you've been listening to my podcast, you'll know that I don't believe it's healthy to be like that. It's isolating, and it affects our mental well-being. Now, don't get me wrong, some of us can overshare, and that is all we do. We just chat and we don't get help. And you can get fed up of listening to people like that. But it's always a balancing act. But honestly, with myself, I know that it just, me just being honest with myself frees me to be honest and chit chat. You know what I mean? So what helps unlock me can help unlock someone else. So I'm just encouraging us to take steps so that we can be free. So anyway, regardless of the term that's being used, like cost of living crisis is what everybody's talking about right now, we're all talking about coping with less money and trying to cope with paying out more bills every month. Now, having a family and dependents is draining on limited resources. And don't get me wrong, I ain't saying you shouldn't have kids and you shouldn't have family and it's your fault for being in that position. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just stating the obvious. Having dependents checks you in a way that being single didn't check me, right? You know, being a parent for me is living in a realm of uncertainty, and in some cases has made me do things from guilt or fear. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, because I've got children, I've always got to be in a job. That's what I was saying. I need to work. I need to earn money. Yes, I know that there's help out there, and I do get help and assistance when I need it, right? But the idea of me not being able to work, you know, sometimes you can just sort of say, I'm going to stay in this job and I'm not moving because at least I know what I'm getting here rather than what I'm not getting. Sometimes there are some parents, you know, some people, they're quite strategic. You know, yeah, I intend to stay in this job for 5 years because my child is at this particular age. And once my child gets to a certain age, I will then take a risk and do other jobs. So you got to do what you've got to do. But what I'm saying is that we live as parents in the realm of uncertainty. Yeah, because we have to adapt and flex to the needs of our families and our partners and what our children and, you know, what we need. So in my current job, right, for those of you who have been listening, I am now a parent organizer with a charity called Citizens UK. And this charity uses community organizing tools to create change. So I constantly talk to parents. So I'm going to share a couple of what I consider to be tip of the iceberg experiences with you before I go into explaining some areas where we can get help, just to let you realize that. And I hate the word stories. When we talk about people's stories, I will protect their identities and where they're based, but it's not stories, it's their experience. And I'm so, I feel gut in my gut that, you know, your experience is your experience. You feel it. Who knows it, feels it. That's what my mum used to say. So these are some experiences that I'm hearing from parents right now. And this is the tip of the iceberg. So one father who I spoke to recently, he said, I look at my daughter's face and she wants me to play with her, but I'm so exhausted from the night shift that all I want to do is sleep. This father is working night shifts only, and it's all the money he's earning is all for rent and bills. Did you hear me? The person is working only for rent and bills. His family are in rented temporary accommodation, and they recently lost out on a permanent home because of miscommunication between housing officers who shared incorrect information, which, although later was rectified, came too late for them to have the home that they were first on the housing list for. Now they're left struggling and fighting to be compensated for that mistake. Now, compensation, they're not looking for money. They're looking to be housed in a home that they were given and then taken away because of miscommunication. That was not their fault. Now they're just left struggling and fighting. Who advocates for this family who are focused on working and raising their children and trying to find, now they got to try and find time to fight a system that they don't understand, go through processes that they don't understand, be pushed from pillar to post? Ain't nobody got time for that. Another father said to me that he's been presented with a £3,000 housing bill for his rent from his local council, and he was completely flabbergasted. Didn't know how this bill had arrived when he's been paying rent. He don't know where this £3,000 come from. So he went to the office, the council office, to inquire, but he said that they were not helpful in explaining how this bill had come about. But instead, they were focused on how was he going to pay it. He left none the wiser, and he's now working all hours God sends to raise money. He then said to me that the council had done something like this before, insisting that he pay what they had calculated he owed. And he then paid them, and later they credited him back the sum that he had paid because they said it was due to their miscalculation. But this time, he's not prepared to leave them thousands of pounds with the council when he doesn't even understand how that debt arrived. He said, "My family only has money for bills and food, nothing else. We don't go out. We don't do anything. We can't." You know, I've been working in the education system and for years, and part of my involvement with a group called Parent Power, which I was one of the leaders, where we started looking at stuff way back when. And, you know, we're trying to give our children opportunities. They're educationally bright. We're trying to give them opportunities that will help them be more well-rounded. So, you know, there are those parents who will sacrifice and give their children extra tutor sessions. They will, you know, get them to participate in activities over the summer, you know, summer schools, camps. But all of these things have some money attached to them. Now, if all you're doing is working for bills and your rent, no matter how much we love our children and support them, and unless we're very good at researching and networking with other parents about information and where things are and where they're not, our children are going to be educationally bright, but culturally a vacuum, because we cannot afford for them to do some of the things that will enrich their lives. Boy. And just this week, another mother explained how the home that she, her husband, and two young children are living in is filled with mold and damp. And the mold is running up every wall. And they're constantly cleaning the wall to get rid of the mold, but it comes back. And the extractor fan that is, because I asked, I said, "Don't you have an extractor fan? Don't you have an extractor fan?" And she was like, "Yes, we have had many extractor fans in the bathroom area, but they have constantly broken. They've broken so much that the council have stopped replacing it, have left a hole in the wall and put plastic sheeting over it, and told them that they should keep their windows open for ventilation." Now, hey, yucca, yucca. Keep your windows open for ventilation in every part of the house so that you don't get damp. What's the point of turning on heat? Because the heat is just going to walk out the door. So you might as well say you're paying to heat the external environment and be cold in your house so that you don't have mold. Does that make sense? Does that logically make sense? Come finish and sort out the problem and put ventilation where you're supposed to put ventilation. But you tell me open window for ventilation. And I've got two young children and we got now cost of living crisis. Oh, hang on a second. Don't let me digress, right? So now their two-year-old son has developed difficulty with breathing and a persistent cough. They're going to go to the doctor to have a look at that. Boy, you see, I want to cuss. How can you, knowing that this young family are in that house, turn around and tell them open window or allow them to stay in the condition that they're in? And I know that there are people out there with far worse, but I don't know you. This mother, I know. Yeah. So another parent had shared how they had recently lost their job, and because they have a particular health issue that requires that they have heating on to help them with their medical condition, and their children also suffer from this medical condition, but they are so frightened of the bill, and especially now that she's lost the job, that they're sitting in the house without heating, which has a knock-on effect for their health condition. And until she opened up her mouth and spoke, and another parent said, hold on, here's a solution, this is what you can do, blah, blah, blah. If she hadn't been courageous enough to share that, she would have been sitting in our space pretending everything's all right as we were all talking about our issues. I'm telling you, the power of just sharing. I mean, and to tell you the truth, I'm not even just talking about other parents. I'm talking about my own experience. My electricity bill and gas bill came in last month, £60 more expensive, and only God e know when we have to sacrifice another to find that £60 to pay that. I had to call my two children to one side, and we had to talk about the energy bill. You know, and we had to have some agreement about how we're going to manage and handle this. So we have agreed not to turn on our heating because the heating was off from summer. We're not turning the heating on, but we've agreed that we'll keep the hot water running. So if we need hot water and we need to shower, we can keep ourselves clean. We've also decided that we're going to switch off every single plug that is not in use. We're intentionally making sure if something's plugged into the wall, it's off, unless it's something that has to be used. Yeah. And we're using our blankets and our duvets to keep warm in the house. And we will see what the bill is like next month. I've even gone through my direct debits and I've cancelled things that are no longer serving us. You know, and I'm looking for other ways to save. And even the cat, Bella the cat that we have, poor cat might end up living on our leftover scraps of food when and if the cat food that we are getting at the moment is too, I can't afford it. I'm sorry, Bella. And if my daughter listens to this, she's going to cuss me because she's going to be like, the cat's part of the family. Yes, the cat is part of the family, but your food is not my food. So let's move to some help, yeah? Now, remember, I'm just an ordinary mum. I don't have the answers for everything. But if we share something that you don't know, then you share that. Then somebody else shares something you don't know. Before you know it, you've got a community of information. So the first thing out there that can help us is the Local Citizens Advice Bureau, the CAB. And these are like a network of independent charities across the UK that provides free, confidential and independent advice and support. This includes understanding benefits and financial support that you might be entitled to and how to access it. Advice on accessing support to pay for essential costs such as bills, rent, food and travel. Advice on dealing with debt, food bank referrals, and help with filling out paperwork. Food bank is where we can go, and anyway, I'll explain later. You don't need to hold a UK citizenship to access the support, although local bureaus can only help if you live or work in their area. Now, I've purposely said all that as slowly as I can so that you can understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. You do not have to be a UK citizen. You do not need to hold UK citizenship. Sorry, let's be clear. To access support, although the Local Citizens Advice Bureau will only help if you live or work in their area. All right? You can get in touch online, or you may need to book an appointment or an in-person appointment. Also, some of them, when you go to, you find your local one in the area, you can find it online by Googling. Google is your friend at this moment. And then some of them will have opportunity to make appointment or give you a telephone number so that you can call your local and make an in-person appointment. In the old days, we used to just rock up there and see what times they were open and what they were covering. And they also have an online chat system. So you're going to have to do some homework. But Citizens Advice Bureau is your first port of call. If you've got housing issues, shelter at www.shelter, spelled shelter.org, that's org.uk. They provide free advice and support on a range of housing issues and help you understand your rights, whether you're struggling to pay bills or rent, dealing with poor accommodation, are facing homelessness, or dealing with unscrupulous landlords. A piece of advice is join a tenants' union is also a way to build collective power, because you're all having the same complaint or issue and you're uniting together to take action. A third organisation that can help with any debt or is called Christians Against Poverty, CAP, and they offer help if your debt is an issue. And you know, this saying of robbing Peter to pay Paul, you know, when you're juggling paying one bill over another, some people use their credit card because it can come in handy to help them with the bill. But you know what? You still have to pay back the credit card. So man cannot live on credit card alone. And sometimes we're trying to live life with credit card and the debt. I've been there. So I'm talking from experience, right? Having a credit card debt, I didn't know about CAP way back when, and they've been going for years, and I could have used their help. But you know about them now. It's Christians Against Poverty. Again, Google is your friend. C for cat, A for apple, P for papa. Put it in there, and it's, you know, Christians Against Poverty. Another organization is Turn to Us, who provide clear, accessible information on financial support available. And this is on their website. They also have a helpline for those who face barriers to digital access. This includes online benefit calculator, which can help you check what kind of support you may be entitled to. And their figures are saying that there's more than 7 million households in the UK currently that miss out on about £15 billion in support that they're entitled to each year, and they don't access it. So Turn to Us, which is T-U-R-N, the number 2, and the word us, all one word, Turn to Us. Put that in your Google. Google is your friend, and see what you can come out with that organization. And the other one, the last one I think I'm going to mention, is food banks and food aid. Now, food bank, they do food parcels, and these typically contain like 3 days worth of meals, and they can contain some non-food essentials, and some food banks will cater for your dietary requirements, but it depends on availability, so you would need to contact your local food bank and find out if what I'm saying is truthful. Now, local food banks can provide information, but in order to get help from a food bank, you need to be referred with a voucher, which can be issued by a number of local organisations. For instance, schools, your doctor's surgery, and advice agencies such as Citizens, they can refer you to food bank so you can get vouchers for food. Now, let me just say one thing. Some people don't want to go to places like food bank because they think it's shame that they haven't managed to manage their finances, and so therefore have to rely upon food handout charity. But let me tell you now, there's people rocking up to people's house on a Sunday for Sunday dinner that weren't invited, right? So, you know, there's people out there. I mean, there's a local Brixton Soup Kitchen. Solomon, he's been doing this for years. And I remember, I think last year or the year before, when he came to the church I go to and spoke about the work that he's doing and why he's passionate about it, he was like, there are people out there who, you know, live in large, but they can't afford food for themselves or their family, but they're living, driving around in big old cars, and everybody thinks that the appearance is affluent. I've spoken to people who are working in food banks and community shops. These community shops are locally run charity shops where they are, the food is cheaper than normal, okay, because they get those foods through donation. And when you ask them, who are they seeing coming through their doors, they said it's changed. It's people who are working, who have got jobs, who cannot afford to feed themselves. So there is no shame, right? There's no point in having certain things and you can't eat to continue to work. It don't make no sense. Yes? So it's happening. And, you know, all kudos to Solomon and people who are doing food bank, because you do keep the identity. You know, you don't chat about people. You help people. And that's what we have to do. We have to help people. If you've got food and somebody needs food, it's not, yeah, it's going to cost you to heat it up, and it's going to cost you to feed them. But how much is it worth in the end? So there are another, as we count down to my 30 minutes, the Trussell Trust. They run food banks and they've got a website, trusseltrust.org, and they allow you to search for the nearest food banks in your area. They're in England and Wales. There is a helpline number that is manned, where they have trained advisors who give free helpline advice and talk that is confidential. This is for if you live in England and Wales. The telephone number is 0808 208 2138. I'll say that again. This is for trusseltrust.org, and they have a helpline, a free helpline, where you can get advice from a trained advisor. Their number is 0808 208 2138. And they're open Mondays to Fridays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. But they're closed on public holidays. And this is a UK only telephone number, and they'll help. There's something else called Community Fridge Network. And they're another resource where you can access, and they act as a space for food waste to be reduced while providing free food for all. And there's currently over 300 fridges across the UK, but you can get more information on hubbub.org.uk. And they also have a Facebook group. Just Google or search for Community Fridges Network. I'll try and put as many links as I can, or the email or the website addresses, in the description box that comes with this podcast. But, you know, there's more to share. I know that this is going to be a part one and it will go on. But parents are coming together, sharing what they know to help others and each other in their community. And this power is a collective, and it's bigger than you realize. We can't afford to stay isolated, because the little knowledge that I know might be what you need, and what you know might be what I need. As parents, we need to become more intentional about stuff. One mother who's shared her struggle for housing and the allies that helped her and who she met along the way have helped her to now move into a new home, right? Now she's come back to us and told us, and she shared with us. That's why we knew what she was going through. But she's been courageous, because she even told her story in the national press. But the allies that she's met and now the allies that she's bringing to us and the group of parents that I'm working with, and she's going to help unlock other parents who are in need of somebody like this individual who's going to come and speak to us. So I just want to leave to say that together we are stronger. And when we stop hiding behind what we think are our strengths, i.e. when we're suffering in silence. So remember, share the podcast, translate the podcast, share it, follow for the next ones that will come. Thanks for listening. I'm wishing you and your loved ones daily blessings. Remain safe. Until next time, I'm out.